Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for March the 2nd, 2025. And I got an immediate response from Linda in LA. I had sent her a little overview of what I was going to talk about, and she immediately responded, and it's so serendipitous that she would do so. She's a very, very interesting person. She works very hard. She's trying to recover, as she said, from being Catholic, so there's a lot going on. So she said, "I understand a little bit of your wisdom. It confounds me," she says, "at times. You speak of mercy. You speak of forgiveness. What are these things? And where do I have to go to hear more about them? You went to India. Was that your effort? Was that your way of finding what I am seeking?" And then she goes into a litany of other things that don't pertain to this. So we'll leave it right there for Linda. Linda, I went to India not to, what do I want to say, reinvent myself. I went to India because I had just been ordained as a unity minister, and I realized that was not going to fit the bill for serving humankind. I realized that it was all about what you can get. It's a getter religion. It's how do you get money and how do you get health and how do I not have to change? Is there a price to pay for all of this? Blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of craziness in it. So I don't do that. I wanted to find out if there was something deeper. And to be honest with you, at the time, I was very, very disappointed and lost in the whole idea of my colleagues and what kind of people they were. They weren't honorable. They weren't noble at all. They were only trying to get what they wanted from not only the congregation, which was basically gratification and, well, the respect they couldn't give themselves for whatever reason. They just wanted to be admired. So I looked at it. I went to India to find something deeper, something more profound for myself, someplace I could work from within myself to endure and be able to serve people and endure them at the same time. The question really is, as you put here in your email, did I really have to go that far? Did I have to go to India? Did I have to do what I had seemingly to do? And the answer is no. I could have found it within myself. I again yield to Lhotse in the Tao. He says, "One can know the world without leaving home. The way can be seen without a window." In other words, I didn't have to leave anywhere. I was not, shall we say, powerful enough. I was not focused enough to bring into my life what I needed at that time. I thought in those days I had to go get it. And I missed for a long time while I was in India. I didn't always understand the culture, the whole thing that they were going through at the time in India when I was there. But as time went on and I practiced more and more, I began to realize I was in my right place and I needed to go to India, even though I just said a few moments ago, no, I didn't need to. But in a way, I did, and in a way, I didn't. It just worked out this way, as it were, where I began in India to realize that what I was searching for was within me. It was not in India. It's never in a physical place. So I had to go out of my way in this world to find what was in the way within myself. And this was due to my consequences and my karma and a lot of other things that I had set into motion when I was a little boy. The mercy comes in, as you ask in your question, in doing whatever I could to make love possible, to do whatever I could to awaken to what we call in the work self-realize. And when I went to India, I explored beyond the confines of Gregory Edward, the pen in me, the body that surrounds me, the intellect that I have, which isn't too impressive, the mental acuity that I had, and that wasn't too impressive either. I had to find something at the core of me that was greater than what I was taught at Unity in seminary. And I did. And was it good? Was it good for me? There were so many things about it that were so valuable, so beautiful, so insightful. I got to sit in front of quite a few awakened people. And that's very different than sitting in front of your colleagues that know no more than you do. And many of them know less than what you know. So it was very important to realize, and here's the word I will use, the presence of God in a person rather than the demeanor of their human intellect, the demeanor of their ego, the demeanor of their mental acuity. There is something beyond all of that. So I went into training. And I was told when I went into the training that if I did this, I started to work on myself, that I would cut down on all of the falderal that most of us ministers have to deal with in our career. We have very difficult people to deal with. But I really began to realize that there isn't much of an audience in the West for something this, I'm going to say the word spiritual, mystical. Just the mystique of the mystical is not of any interest to the American public at all. Probably far less now in the Kali Yuga than ever before. And the reason for that is we're overpopulated. There's a lot of things going on. In India, there is great overpopulation. And they have a respect for how to live with one another that we simply do not engage in. We are not much interested in. So, that all being said, and explaining myself here, mercy is the basis for your beginning in inner work. You have to be merciful. That is defined by being kind and generous enough with yourself that you don't blow yourself up by looking at a practice and thinking to yourself, this isn't going to work. My parents, my family, my friends, the people around me, they're not going to understand, and I shouldn't do this. I'll be left alone. Well, I teach three things: simplicity, solitude, and silence. And in those three elements, I have found in my own life, there is a great beauty that happens, and it is all about realizing the beauty that Greg's eyes cannot see and Greg's ears cannot hear. It is beyond the precepts and concepts of liking and disliking. Nati, nati, neither this, neither that. So it's a long, long story, and I hope I didn't bore you too much. It goes even deeper than all of that that I just explained, but maybe this will give you some kind of insight into what it was that I go through now and went through then, simply to awaken. And it is very, very beautiful. I have a modicum of awakening, but enough that it keeps growing within me. And one day I'll tell you about that. Thank you, Linda. And thank you, my audience, for listening and tolerating this. Back on the air next week. Please forgive me. Namaste.